This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 12, 2019. The fourth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Good Shepherd Sunday, and Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Good Shepherd Sunday comes up. And we generally hear about the Good Shepherd. We should be hearing about the Good Shepherd every time we come into this place. On Good Shepherd Sunday this year, I would like to focus on the flock, not necessarily the shepherd. Can't help but to pay attention to the shepherd if you are part of the flock. This is a question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we part of the flock? It is, unfortunately, contrary to what we hear a lot now, it is not a given. It ought never be presumed that you are part of the flock of our Lord Jesus Christ, because our Lord Jesus Christ places caveats on as to whether or not you are a member of his flock. One of the things that the flock does is cling very close to the shepherd. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true shepherd, say that his flock know him, they hear his voice, they follow him. Those are the caveats. A presumptuous view of being a member of the flock of Jesus Christ is, well, I go to Mass on Sundays, and isn't that what you're supposed to? Yes, that's what you're supposed to do if you like bare minimums. But the flock cling close to the shepherd all the time, not just for an hour on Sundays, but all the time. They can cling closely to him because they should know him. We are supposed to know the shepherd. There are many false ones out there. We need to know the shepherd that is the shepherd of God's flock. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know him not by what we imagine him to be, as is kind of rampant in our day. You know, I hear it quite frequently. Try to witness to somebody. Usually when it's a confrontation with them not following the true shepherd, and you get the, well, my God is this, and my God... You are absolutely right, ma'am or sir. That is your God. It is an idol that you have made in your own mind. It is not God, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he has revealed himself. We must know him. How abstract is it for most people when you hear the word that he hears, if we hear his voice? Hear his voice. Everything. He says everything, not, again, the parts that we like, that salad bar theology approach to things. I like this, I don't like that, I'll do this, I won't do that. Arbitrary thinking that the sheep can figure out what they can do outside of the shepherd. Shepherd says do this, but I'm going to do this. Now, I've heard this many times in my ministerial career. Well, that person, they go here now because they feel like they're being fed. So what? So what? When does the sheep determine what's good for them? Okay, we cooperate with the shepherd, or should. We don't determine, we're not the shepherd. That makes you the shepherd. I know what's good for me. I know where I'm being fed. Yeah. I always use my analogy of the Golden Corral dessert bar because I love desserts, okay? I would love nothing better than to graze at the dessert bar constantly. It's not only not good for you, it will be to your demise ultimately. You can't live on something just because it tastes good. It's unhealthy. When these sheep run off to other sheepfolds because they feel they're being fed there, it's a lie. They're not being fed there. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And so many Catholics will run off to places where it's not really the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's not really an objective change. It's all spiritual. That's a lie. That's a lie, and the sheep who feed there will starve to death. Because I say so? No, because those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, they have no life in them. These are his words. Do we hear his voice? Obviously, a lot of the sheep do not hear his voice now. We follow him. Following is a consequence of truly hearing. Yeah, if I go across Edgewater Drive and you're looking at me, don't cross now, don't cross now. Well, you know, I hear you, but, you know, it looks okay to me. Don't cross now. And you get waffled. You didn't obey. Hearing and obeying are two completely different things. And just because you hear what our Lord may say, if you don't obey what he says, problem. Hearing, the consequence of truly hearing, listening, is to obey our Lord Jesus Christ, to stick close to this true and one and only shepherd of our souls. It's not only things that we do, but also things that we do not do. We do not run after strangers. No matter how much they may look like the shepherd, no matter how much they might sound like the shepherd, if it's not the shepherd, you do not follow them. Our Lord Jesus Christ, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They follow him into the sheepfold. The sheepfold that our Lord Jesus Christ established in this world is the Roman Catholic Church, founded on the back of Peter. That is the sheepfold. The fence around the sheepfold may become damaged. It may become worn at times, but that's the sheepfold. It doesn't matter really the condition. It's the fact that the true shepherd is there, guiding and directing us, the one to whom we must listen and obey. This is being part of God's flock, truly. As I said, we have to shun and walk away from this presumption that is so prevalent in our day. Jesus says he's a true shepherd because everybody knows Jesus Christ came, and you know it really doesn't matter what you do or what you think. It's just the fact that he came and he's a shepherd and he brings you into eternal life. Rank presumption and fallacious. It's a lie. It's not true. There's a context in which our Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement. I'm always pointing out the little nuances in the lectionary. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Was our Lord just walking down the path, the trail, a road with his disciples, hanging out in a room, and just all of a sudden... Oh, yeah, just by the way, I'm the true shepherd. If you hear, no, it didn't happen like that. There's context. It starts today in John chapter 10, verse 27, where our Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. The conversation begins in verse 22 of John chapter 10, five verses before. And that is when the Jews surround our Lord Jesus Christ, They gather about him and they say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "You see the works? You've heard my words." And these are his words: "You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep." What? They're children of Abraham. I hear all over the place now that if you claim to be a child of Abraham, you're good to go. That sounds nice, but it contradicts what Jesus Christ says. "You children of Abraham, you Jews who have gathered around me, you want me to say something plainly to you? I have shown you plainly. I have spoken plainly. You don't believe because you're not of my flock." Okay? There are people who are not of his flock. A lot of them. A lot of them. Like everyone who does not embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and him as the exclusive path to eternal life. This is the context in which our Lord says, "I have the true shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me." It proves that you do not know God the Father if you do not recognize the Son. This is our Lord's point to the Jews who gather about him. "You claim to be children of Abraham." John the Baptist has pulled the rug out from under that argument. Our Lord Jesus Christ pulls the rug out from under that argument. That's nothing. John the Baptist said, "God could raise up children of Abraham from these stones." That doesn't have anything to do with anything. But in our day, oh yeah, it has everything to do with it. Because they're just seeking. If you're going to seek God, you have to follow the shepherd, God's shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. If these Jews were in any way attuned to what the Father said, they would recognize the Son. It would be obvious to them, as it's obvious to others. Understanding everything? No. But appreciating who he is and what he says, and just believing it because he says it, yes. If they were attuned to the Father in any way, they would have recognized Jesus Christ. And you don't recognize Jesus Christ, you're not of the Father. In short, you don't know God. I and the Father are one. This is the whys behind that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, that last sentence, that last statement that he makes in that gospel, "I and the Father are one." You cannot say that you know the Father, that you follow God, if you don't know me, because we are one. In a short gospel presentation, if you're paying attention, it's kind of interesting. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he looks and he says, he's talking to those of his flock who are trying to cling. He said, "I give them eternal life. They shall never perish and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." My hand. "My Father who is in heaven has given them to me, and he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Which is it, Jesus? Your hand or the Father's hand? Yes, because they're both the same hand. You don't know the Father. You're not in his hand if you're not in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a claim to some ethnicity or some cultural thing, or what, it doesn't make any difference. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That first reading today, I'm kind of surprised that one snaked in our day, because it really flies in your face. The Jews are around St. Paul and they will not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he looks at them and he doesn't say, "Hey guys, let's dialogue about this." Or, "Hey guys, well, you're just seeking God in your own way and you are children of Abraham." He looks at them and he says, "You judge yourself unworthy of eternal life." He's consigning them to hell because they do not embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, the words of the Holy Spirit. This is God's truth. These are his words. These are the ones to which we have to be attentive and follow the one who spoke them, our Lord Jesus Christ. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And no one will snatch them from my hand. If Jesus Christ is God Almighty, he is. If you even question, yeah, he is. Jesus Christ as God Almighty is perfect in his perfections. He cannot lie. He cannot make suggestions as if they may or may not happen. I am the true shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If we follow him, we shall never perish, and no one will snatch them, us, from his hand. No one. Little footnote. A lot of your Protestant friends will look at that verse and say, see, once saved, always saved. No one will snatch them from their hand. No one from the outside, no exterior influence will snatch you out of his hand. It doesn't say one word about you not straying from his hand or you not jumping from his hand. It just says if you stay there, no one will snatch you from his hand. You are very apt. You are prone to want to wander out of his hand. This is where the question arises as to are we in his hand? Are we truly clinging to the Good Shepherd? If we are, we follow closely, we're his. He will keep us in spite of the things that we do, the straying that we are prone to do. He will keep us free and protect us from that. That's what good shepherds do. That's why it is so ridiculous, utterly ridiculous to hear that all are welcome into this. No, they're not. Bears, lions, wolves are not welcome in the sheepfold. The shepherd defends the sheep against them. He just doesn't feed them. He defends. And his defense is perfect. His defense will not allow anything to prey upon us. We'll be tempted to walk away. We may even walk away a little bit, sometimes far away, sometimes for a long time. But he's always there to defend us. He's always calling. This is the glorious thing about this whole Jesus Christ, the perfect shepherd. It doesn't matter how far away we walk. It doesn't matter how long we may be gone. He will always be calling us. He's always waiting for us to start listening to his voice and coming back to obey his direction, to eat from the verdant green pastures of the Roman Catholic Church and not scrub and thistles and everywhere else, even if there are scrub and thistles. This is what we must appreciate, his standing with us even when we do stray. This is the glories of clinging to the true shepherd. If you're clinging to him, if you hear his voice, if you're obeying him, there is no question you will be safe. But even if you put yourself in a position where you are in danger of predators, he still calls. He still tries to get you to come to him to where he can protect you. You take it upon yourself to stay away, then it's on you. It's not on him. That doesn't make him less a good shepherd. This is what we have to understand about the true shepherd. These are his perfections. When we understand his perfections, it should be such a sense of encouragement for us and a catalyst to continue to do everything we can to truly understand him for who he is as best we can on this side of the veil and to hear his voice. That's not hard. He makes his voice very plain. It's just up to us to hear and obey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.